You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
How do we choose to view the world around us? Are we the cynic, the pessimist, the doubter? Are we the optimist, the believer, always one who looks for that silver lining? Do we consider ourselves to be the glass half empty or the glass half full kind of person? Do you consider yourself to be a realist or prone a little bit to naivete according to how some people might see you? Our faith tradition certainly has conflicting ideas about our human family. We are told that we are created in God's image. God's image. Yet there are traditions and theologies which emphasize what they call the total depravity of the human family. And this has certainly yielded plenty of rules over the centuries, which have typically been aimed at separating people, at saying who's in, who's out, who believes correctly, and who does not. What are we called to be as followers of Jesus? Which of those marks should stick to us? Does his teaching reflect a belief that everything comes in black and white terms? Or is there room for the gray? We don't often talk about it, but that is really one of the major things that separates the Christian family today. There are many who want the world to be cast in black and white terms, and there are plenty of congregations which are happy to do that very thing. On the other hand, there are many people who have very deep questions, who see the world around us more in shades of gray, and are just as passionate about being followers of Jesus. I wonder what the marks are that Jesus would want us to wear, representing our outlook in life. Well, the Gospel of Mark that we are working through certainly gives us some insight. In just a few chapters, Mark is making the case for the impact that Jesus is having on all the people who are around him. He first demonstrated his connection to God by being baptized by John in the River Jordan, and we heard of that heavenly voice expressing great pleasure at this act that had taken place. We then learned about Jesus' ability to attract followers when he called Simon and Andrew and James and John. And the gospel then shows us how Jesus engaged in teaching the masses of his vision for life through the use of parables. They pointed to what life is like when the kingdom of God breaks in. So Jesus has been depicted as a person who is faithful to God's will. He was seen as someone who had a great effect on people, so much so that when they were willing to leave absolutely everything in order to follow him. And it certainly is very clear that he was a respected rabbi, a teacher who was skilled in instruction. Any who would listen to him learned about what it meant to live faithfully. We've considered how these impact our lives, how we've been marked by the call to follow Jesus, and how we have been marked to be cultivators of justice. Well, our text this morning paints a picture of Jesus, the miracle worker. Now, before we go too deep into the meaning of all of this, it's important that we have some basic understanding of the literature of that era, of that place and time. You see, there were literary conventions which showed up in a great deal of the ancient writings talking about very important people. And you see, it was not uncommon to attribute a miraculous birth to their beginnings, as well as recounting the miracles that the person may have performed. Our Bible, as we know, is full of those kinds of stories, of people having children far beyond their childbearing years, of miracles and healings that were attributed to people other than Jesus. Now, to our modern minds, this often can present problems. The nature of these stories seems to fly in the face of our understanding of physics and physiology. But that was not the reason these examples were used in the Gospels. They were not a scientific textbooks. These examples were there to challenge those who heard the story, and in essence, they were saying to those people, listen up, this Jesus is an important person. Clearly, that is what was happening. Jesus was developing a reputation, so much so that the gospel writer Mark tells us that people were eager to find him so that they could hear his teaching. It is also clear from today's reading that Jesus was already developing this reputation as a great healer. We have this fascinating drama with Jairus, the rabbi in the local synagogue, and his daughter. And then there is inserted in the middle of this the story of the woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages. Now, Mark, in his haste to keep Jesus moving, doesn't give us much backstory with regard to any of this. Well, so let's start a little bit with Jairus and his daughter. This little girl was sick, and she apparently was on her deathbed. Now, talk to any parent who has had a child pass away. It's gut-wrenching. It is gut-wrenching. It seems like an affront to the natural order, and it is probably safe for us to imagine that Jairus and his family were at some point feeling great anger as well as despair. It's a draining and taxing kind of thing, which makes even the most stoic person want to give up. Jairus had heard something, though, about Jesus and about the miracles that were being performed. So maybe in Jairus' mind there was this little glimmer of hope. The rabbi thought maybe there was a possibility here. Then we're introduced to the woman who for 12 years was suffering from hemorrhages. For a dozen years she had sought treatment from physicians, draining away all of her resources. During that 12-year period, what we probably forget is that she was considered an outcast because a bleeding woman was considered unclean, someone to be kept separate. How tragic that a situation over which she had absolutely no control could be the source of exclusion from the community. Should be a familiar story to us. She too had heard about Jesus and probably figured this was her absolute last chance. She believed that he could fix the situation. And we know from hearing the story that indeed is what happened. It had to be even more devastating for Jairus when this delay took just enough time so that it was too late for his daughter. She was dead when they finally arrived. At least that is what appeared to be the case. But then we know from the story there was this marvelous, amazing, happy ending for the people. The little girl was brought back to life. And even more people at that point were amazed, absolutely amazed, by the power that Jesus seemed to have. Well, frequently the follow-up commentary on this in a class or in most sermons focuses on the faith of the individuals and how they brought about their own healing. That certainly is something that's made apparent in the story. But today I am more interested in looking at Jesus. Jesus and his actions and how they saved not only two specific people, but made a difference in the wider community. Jesus encountered what could be described as two hopeless situations: the dying child and the woman who could not stop bleeding. The devastation of the families must have been palpable. The woman, after so many years of finding no cure, should have been at wit's end. That is how Jesus changed things up. Word had made it to the community that Jesus was no ordinary man. Could it be that there were still some dregs of hope which remained? When he got there and performed what the gospel writer saw as two miracles, hope was once again unleashed. It was one of those kingdom moments when hope triumphed over hopelessness. These two acts of mercy spread like wildfire among the crowd. People who had been looking at hopeless situations were now witnesses to the fact that it was not the end of the story. Yes, Jesus was a healer, but he was also one who interjected hope everywhere it was possible. He especially, as we know from his teaching, provided words of hope for the poor, the disenfranchised, the weak. I think it is a critically important message for today. We need people who bring hope into our communities. We need people who can instill hope in our children and our youth. What we do not need is to buy into a culture which believes that evil is lurking around every corner, that we are not safe wherever we go, and that the only way for us to feel secure is to have an arsenal locked up at home that could outfit a militia. The sad truth is when we broadcast a message of fear, it does not bring out the best in our human family. Some might even suggest that when we live in fear, we are much more prone to manipulation by the very voices trying to convince us of just how horrible things are. All this is to say is that I believe that one of the marks of being a follower of Jesus is being a person of hope. Sure, there are going to be times that may bring us to our knees in concern and despair, but our truth is that we never, never give up on hope. Hopelessness is not how Jesus marks us. Instead, we are marked with hope. So I would like us to consider where we find ourselves in all of this. Are we people of hope? Or are we pessimists? So I'm going to ask us to do a little exercise right now. So grab your worship guide, and if you've got a pencil or a pen, or maybe you just want to do it all in your mind, but what I want you to do is somewhere in all the blank space, put down a line to create two columns. And I want one of the columns to say hope, and I want the other one to say cynicism. And I want you to take time to think about the past week, the encounters that you had, the decisions you made, the conversations that were part of the routine, the advice you gave. And I want you to just put down a few check marks as you think of that. Was this a time where you were a person of hope? Or were you a pessimist? So let's take a few minutes now to think about this and reflect on our week. Shall we do that together? Now, this is something you can continue when you leave the place today. But I'd ask you the question, for those of you that were doing that, did you learn something? Were you perhaps surprised by the results, or was it what you expected? Did you see opportunities where your response could have been different? Were you a person this past week who actively worked at bringing hope into the world, or were your actions something that you would prefer to forget at this point and leave it behind? Now, I know that there are plenty of folks who might roll their eyes and say that living in hope is an unrealistic way to exist. It's a pie-in-the-sky fantasy. I guess I would counter by saying, why would we want to live any other way? Living in hope does not mean that we expect everything will always go our way, that tragedy is going to be eradicated. Living in hope is not living with a false sense of euphoria. Living in hope acknowledges that even when things seem out of control, that we have the promise that God's love and God's grace is a part of our lives. We have the promise that we are never, never alone. That's good news. That's good news to know that God's love can ease the hurt, that grace can restore and change us even when we think it impossible. I can live in hope because I know I am loved by God. Shouldn't that be enough? So as we go from this place today, let's consider how we can be the hope for others in this faith community, for our family, for our friends, for our co-workers. What if we went even further by participating in acts of hope for people that we don't even know? If we were to speak words of hope to challenge the fear-mongering that is so prevalent in our world today, it creates an opportunity for the kingdom of God to break in most unexpected ways. Yes, we are called to be the hope. Are we willing to be the hope? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org. Or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.